Good morning. We are glad that you're here, wherever you may be, and whenever you may be watching or listening. We do have plenty of room here for additional people to attend in person, if you'd wish to do that. We have room for 40. I think today we have probably about 10, other than our tech team. So don't hold back. If you are not attending because you want to leave room for somebody else, there's room for you as well. There are plenty of upper room devotional booklets available, so you can call the office if you would like to pick one up or if you would like to have one sent, or you can pick one up if you're here today. And please remind others who may not be technical people that they can call into our live stream on a regular phone, just a regular phone. And the number that you need to remember, if you don't have a pencil right now, is 467, because the number that you'll need to call is 440-467-HOPE, H-O-P-E. And you can call, and you can actually listen anytime, 24/7, if you want to hear a recording of the most recent service. So, and when you call in, you can also choose if you want to be automatically called anytime that we go live. So we do thank those who are using it right now. And we know that you're there, and we're grateful that you are also in attendance. I want to remind the kids that Miss Tammy has been recording Junior Church, and it's on our website every week. It's under the Sunday School tab. And we also have youth recordings that are under there for youth. Although there's a little bit of a pause while Pastor Andrew is out, you can still check out past recordings if you want to catch up. I personally like listening to them myself. There's always good messages and a nice, concise video. We also have room, if you would like, for new worship tech volunteers. So they are always welcome, either in service or during the week. And on Sunday mornings, there's an opportunity to run the camera, advance the worship slides, or produce the live stream. And during the week, at home, there's a chance to make slides or update the website with announcements and recordings. So lots of different ways that you might be able to help with our church technical ministry. If you're interested in any of these, or you want to observe, or you want to just jump right in, we've got lots of training available. It's available online. It's in written material. And I can give it to you in person. So whatever works best for you. It's quick and it's easy. So just ask me or ask Nancy Hoffman if you have an interest in taking a part in that. So now let us pause and take a breath and be in a meditative spirit as we listen to our prelude. Thank you. And now please rise as you're able to for the call to worship. Come, light of the world, and illumine our darkness.
Come, life triumphant, and revive us from death.
Come, great physician, and heal our wounds.
Come, King of hearts, and sit upon your throne.
For you alone are our King.
You alone are the Lord of life.
And now let us join in our hymn, Christ is Risen. It's found in The Faith We Sing, 21:15. Enter our time of prayer, I invite you to join with me in the unison prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, who said to us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, grant us the assurance of your mercy and peace with God, so that your Holy Spirit might live in our midst and gather us into unity with all who trust and believe in you. We ask it in your name. Amen. Now I invite you for a time of silent prayer. Thank you. come to you from many places and many situations, from deepest sorrows to greatest joys, from points of questioning to points of faith. Forgive us when our vision is narrow and near. Give us courage and a willingness to step beyond ourselves as you surprise us with new opportunities to serve you. Give us an eye to recognize need and act on it, to forgive and move ahead, to stop and listen. For those grieving the loss of loved ones, we pray for comfort and for a sense of your presence with them. For those with health concerns and fears, we ask you for healing, whether that is a body, mind, or soul, and for guidance, perseverance, and companionship as they walk that road. For those who are away on travel, we ask for safety and health. For the Scott family, as they spend the needed time to adjust and bond, we pray that they're able to find joy and a measure of rest in the midst of the increased busyness and commitment that's a part of raising small children. For those struggling so hard but not giving up, we pray that they may continue to see the encouragement that you provide, perhaps through us or through others who cross their paths. For Pastor Bob Kuntz and his family, that you might continue to offer opportunities for ministry and leadership in retirement. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives and for the many joys around us. Give us enough peace to look for them and to see them. And now let us pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now let us join in the Spirit song, which we'll find in our hymnals, number 347. So I invite you to stand if you wish.
Make you whole. Jesus, oh
Kids. So what? Here, let me show you something here. Let's see, what do we have here? It's kind of small. A little hard to see. Might have to zoom in on it. Here, I'll give you some background there. All right. So yeah, that's right. This is a lock. And what do we use locks for? Yes, what do we use locks for? Yeah, to lock things. Yeah, we want to keep, sometimes we want to keep other people away from our stuff. Or sometimes we want to keep people away from us. So there's all different kinds of locks. So let me show you a few here. Let's see, we've got a bicycle lock. Okay, and that one's got a little padlock on it. Got a key to open it. We've got another kind of lock. Look at this lock. So this is a lock on some luggage on a suitcase. See, it's got a combination on it. So you can set the number and that will that'll hopefully keep people out of your luggage. You might use a lock on your phone, okay, to keep people from getting into it. You might use a lock on your car or on your house. But I want to also let you know that after Jesus was crucified, the disciples were afraid. And they went into a room and they were scared. They locked the doors. They were afraid of what people might do to them. They were afraid. And so even though they did that, though, we're going to find out that in the Bible lesson today that Jesus still appeared to them. He still got in. In fact, he did it twice, that he came back, even though they had locked doors. And sometimes we're afraid, or we're angry, or we're frustrated, and we just feel like we want to keep others away, right? Sometimes. And although we shouldn't use a real lock, it's sort of like we put a lock on our heart, okay, or on our mind, and we don't let others talk to us, or we don't invite our friends to have, you know, conversation with us to help us with that. But no matter what our situation, Jesus is always there for us. Jesus can always find a way in. So how might he do that? Well, we might pray. We might pray for patience or courage. We might calm down and be an example to those around us. We might forgive others and maybe show them how to be a friend. And there's all kinds of ways that Jesus can find his way into your life, even when you want to shut others out. Jesus can always find a way in. So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for always being there for us. No matter what kind of a day that we're having, no matter what is going on around us, we thank you that you are always there, that you're always by your side, by our side, and that we can always ask you for help. Amen. So have a great week. And now I'm going to shift over here and we'll do our lesson one for today, which is found in Psalm 133. Look at how good and pleasing it is when families live together as one. It's like expensive oil poured over the head, running down onto the beard, Aaron's beard, which extended over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, streaming down onto the mountains of Zion, because it is there that the Lord has commanded a blessing, everlasting life. And we'll find our message is from Reverend Bob Kuntz, and he'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31.
Our scripture this Sunday is again John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered together in the upper room. Fearful of the Jews, they had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive a person's sin, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Do you believe because you have seen with your eyes? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written down in this book. And these are written down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing may have life in his name. One of the surprising things about the stories of the resurrected Christ is that people saw him, but they didn't recognize him. So at the tomb, Mary thinks he was the gardener. On the road to Emmaus, two disciples think he's a visitor to Jerusalem. When Jesus appears in today's lesson to the disciples to the upper room, they don't know who he is until he shows them his hands and his side. And yet Jesus blesses them. He gives them his peace before they recognize him. The peace of God, the heavenly peace, is a gift from God. It's not dependent on what we say or do. It comes from God's grace. Think about that. Jesus is giving His peace to the disciples who denied Him, who tried to stop Him from coming to Jerusalem, who fell asleep in the garden while He was in anguished prayer. Our relationship with Christ doesn't start with what we do. It starts with Jesus offering us forgiveness. It starts with Jesus stepping into our lives. John Wesley called this prevenient grace. It's not a reward for our works or our prayers, but it comes because Jesus is stepping into our life with His great love. Today's scripture starts with the fearful disciples behind locked doors. And sometimes in life, we can feel that we are behind locked doors. Perhaps like the disciples, we have hidden to protect ourselves. Perhaps like the apostles in the book of Acts, someone else's anger and sin has locked us in prison or treated us unjustly. Perhaps the locked door of our life is failing health. Bishop Will Willimon says, "Here's the good news. The risen Christ can come through locked doors. There is no security system that's been devised that can keep you from His incursion. He came to His first disciples when they were filled with doubt and disbelieving, and He promises to keep coming back to us, to keep intruding among us, and to keep opening the door that we don't know how to unlock. Even in the dark door of death, Christ promises to not to forsake us, to keep coming back for us, to keep talking to us and breathing upon us. Our faith is based on this Easter miracle. Our relationship with God, thank God, is not based on what we can feel or believe or think. It's based on the fact that the risen Christ came to you, moved through whatever locked doors you were behind, and breathed His life-giving breath upon you and raised you up toward Himself. Beloved, there is no locked door. There is no situation in this world. There is no problem in your life, nothing that you have done that can keep out the endless love and forgiveness of Jesus. He defeated death, and He defeats all the powers of this world and everything of death that plagues our life. Before Jesus was crucified, He talked to the disciples about His peace. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your heart remain troubled, and do not remain afraid." John 16, 33, "I have said this to you, so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but have courage. I have overcome the world." Beloved, have you experienced that peace? I had a friend who said that the 2 weeks that she cared for her father when he was in hospice care were the most blessed and peace-filled weeks of her life. I know other people who, at the hospital bedside or at the graveside, have experienced that peace that passes understanding. There is something deep and true and unique that we receive from Christ that we can only receive from Christ. and it's His gift. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to His disciples as He is telling them that they have the authority to forgive sins. And what is the Holy Spirit? It's the presence of Christ with us. It's the power and fire and truth of God. The Holy Spirit connects us with God so that we have the blessed assurance that we belong to Him and He belongs to us. The Spirit is the healing and power by which we can forgive others. The Spirit is that bonding love that makes us into a family with each other. The Spirit is that power that transforms our hearts so that we are more like Christ, so that we bear His fruit, love and joy and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Beloved, when we stand in the presence of the risen Christ, we are offered the life of heaven. We cannot experience His resurrection and remain unchanged. The Holy Spirit grabs us. The power of death no longer rules us. The power of sin no longer imprisons us. The power of guilt no longer messes with us. We are forgiven and free and new. And through the gift of the Spirit, we are given the power and authority to forgive others. That first Easter Sunday, the disciples see the Lord, except for Thomas, who then refuses to believe. Now, friends, think about how hard this refusal must have been for the rest of the disciples. He's saying that He doesn't trust them. He's saying that He thinks they were hallucinating, that they were out of their mind. He's dismissing them. So what do you think the disciples would do with Thomas? Would they shout him down? Would they pressure him? Would they hate him? Would they say to him, "You're no longer one of us"? Beloved, here is a reason to believe the resurrection. Thomas disagrees with the most important thing in their life, with the resurrection that changed them, but they don't treat Him with the treatment of the world. They don't give in to anger or mistrust or division. They don't exclude Him. The resurrection has changed something in their heart. And they welcome Thomas, even in his refusal to believe, they welcome him with the peace of heaven. And Jesus, when He appears to Thomas, what does He offer Thomas but grace? Jesus doesn't scold Thomas. He doesn't reproach him or shame him. Just as He gave His peace to the disciples on Easter, so a week later He gives His peace to Thomas. And Thomas experiences not just the reality of the resurrection, but the depth of Christ's love for him. Beloved, Jesus is yearning to come to you behind locked doors and show you how deeply and fully He loves you. He wants to share His heart with you, to deepen your faith, to give you more of His Spirit, to fill and flood you with the love of God. by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into that crimson flood that washes bright as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join the holy band and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
And I invite you now to stand, if you're able, and sing our hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 384.
Thank you.
As we move into our offertory time, for those present who have offering, I would remind you to use the plates at the door when you leave. But may we all, wherever we are, be thankful for what we have as we think of what we might be able to share to improve the world around us. Now let us join in the doxology.
Our scripture.
Please join me in the unison prayer. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives.
Amen.
And as we go, let me offer these words. Serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in enacting your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit's power. And may peace be your way in the world. Amen. And I would ask that you be seated for our postlude.
Or the benediction response first.
And with, yes, I'm sorry, let's do the benediction response first.
The Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you